And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan, of course, with you to continue our hour. All right, so I brought into the studio Dr. Steven Hinderberger. Of course, he's right upstairs from us, and of course, an eye doctor, fabulous eye doctor in this area. Steve, thanks so much for joining me for a couple of minutes, and you're in here for a particular reason. So we got a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
I wear glasses. I've had contacts in the past. And so since we've been living the life that we have been, the concern I've seen with some out there, especially posting online, is with the mask, we're blowing our breath up into our eyes. Is that causing any damage? Is that causing any dry eye syndrome that you're seeing?
Damage, no. Exacerbating a situation, perhaps. In other words, if you have a patient who's a dry eye sufferer to begin with, then that may tend to make things a little bit worse, because essentially your mask is whatever you're breathing out is going up towards where your glasses are. That's why your glasses will fog up from time to time. And so if you take a patient who is a dry eye sufferer to begin with, maybe they have an underlying medical condition like Sjogren's or something else that they're on medication and they have dry eye to start with, that will make it worse. And then there are those people on the margins who may just be, generally don't have any great issues, but at certain times of the year it bugs them more. We're entering into fall and winter when we're going to be indoors and forced air heat and those kind of things. Whereas, the same things, the humidity in the air outside is what makes your eyes feel great because they're bathed in all that moisture that you're not usually getting. So it doesn't cause you any damage. It's just it does tend to make things more aggravating. And generally you can probably treat that with over-the-counter not re-wetting drops, artificial tear.
Is there a certain, I don't want to say brand, but is there a certain re-wetting tear that you would stay away from versus that you would recommend? Because some get the red out.
Yeah,
that's not necessarily
exactly
what we're talking about, right?
Exactly.
You're talking about the artificial
tear.
Yeah,
I tend to tell patients it's not that Visine doesn't make just an artificial tear, but you want to avoid multi-purpose things because the drops that get the red out are like 12-hour nasal sprays. They work great when you first use them, but eventually they become 8-hour and 6-hour and 4-hour nasal sprays because your body develops a tolerance to it. So all you want is basically something that lubricates the eye, replaces the dry eye patients suffer from a breakdown where the tears that their body produces don't have all the components that allow it to be comfortable. So I tell patients a well moistened eye is like a car that's never been waxed. The water just lays on it, and as long as it lays on it, it's comfortable. If the wind blows, it dries off, then it gets irritated. Patients who suffer from dry eye are like cars that have been waxed, and so the water lays on them and then beads up right away, and they're constantly blinking to kind of replace that component. Artificial tears is just giving them something that stays on the surface a little bit longer, so it delays those symptoms.
Any solution with the masks? Should it be tighter to our skin, laying across the contour of our face?
Should be as tight to your face as you possibly can.
Okay.
But I mean, I have seen, and I'm sure you have seen, every variety of mask known to man out there.
I mean,
everything from people that have made their own out of t-shirts to, and some of them, we all kind of trial and error and find which one works for them. I've tried the ones you buy and not the ones I keep in my office for those patients who forget the paper ones. I mean, I can literally see my breath going out and those just tend to annoy me. So you each find the one that works the best for you.
Right. What is annoying is when your glasses fog up. So what is the solution to that?
It's interesting because I kind of looked at that to see, and really all they tell you to do is if you wash your glasses with not real soapy water, but a little bit of soapy water, and let them air dry, they should be less inclined to
fog up. But isn't there a sheen or
yeah, that
a layer
was my concern.
Soap?
So this morning, as an experiment, and I'm not wearing the glasses that I experimented with, I had some stuff that I had bought for my bathroom mirror because it fogs up, and I sprayed it and I smelled it. It's got an isopropyl alcohol in it to some degree. degree, I'm sure that's what it has. It works great on my bathroom mirror to a point. So I sprayed it on a pair of my other glasses that I wear, and when I get a chance, I'll switch off and see how those work. My concern was I have no idea whether the components in that for my indoor mirrors is safe on people who have glasses that they've spent a lot of money for the coatings and all the other things that are on them. And so I wouldn't recommend that. I knew it was an old pair of glasses that I didn't care whether it did any damage. They were scratched anyway. But, that's the hardest part is to, and there are probably some products that you can find online that are anti-fog wipes or things that you can put on that may work.
Yeah. Wouldn't that affect your vision if there is a film of something that is on your glasses?
Well, it's going to make it harder. Any film is harder to see through.
Yeah.
So, I mean, then you come down to the question of, is it worse with the fog or worse with the film? It's an annoyance. We all face it. Luckily, it doesn't cause us any, it doesn't. Occasionally, I'll see people driving down the road wearing their mask, and I'm kind of puzzled when I see that. So I don't think that most people are wearing their masks when they're driving. So it shouldn't be fogging up when they're driving. So it's annoying under certain circumstances. I know for my own part, when I'm seeing patients, I will allow them to at least put it under their nose. So because when they're looking through the machinery, if it begins to fog up, it just delays the process, and it's much. You try to make the process as convenient as you possibly can, and then once I'm examining them or once I'm getting in closer, then I ask them to put it back into place so that we're both protected, that kind of thing.
So one thing I know that people are asking you about are contacts, and I'm wondering, is that the solution for all people? Because again, I have glasses on now, I've worn contacts for years, but now at my age, and we'll just say the young age of, we'll skip that, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My point is, when I was a teenager, I could wear them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm at this age, I can't because my eyes dry out very quickly with them. So even if you're at my age or older, is that the solution to all of a sudden get contacts?
It's not the solution. It's an answer. Just like all answers, they work well for some patients and they don't work well for other patients. I've the reason I kind of mentioned it to you, when leading up to this was because, I had a few patients come in and that was their logic was, I am tired of my glasses fogging up at work and I want to try contact lenses. Well, once they've made that decision to try contact lenses, then the next question is, okay, how are we going to do this? Because if you're of that age, just fixing one problem doesn't solve it because now you have to wear readers to do the stuff up close, and now those are going to fog, and that's not what you're looking for. So for some of those patients, you can find an answer in something like a multifocal contact lens or what I wear when I wear my contact lenses is called monovision, where one eye is my distance and the other eye is my near, and it sounds kind of weird, but it works. But the reality I tell patients is if I took 10 people with my prescription and tried the same solution on all 10, I would not get 10 people that would be successful with that. Once you figure out how it works and once you figure out the balancing point, then it's a glass half full, glass half empty question. And so some of those answers are solutions for patients and others aren't. That contact lenses won't work. And if they struggle with dry eye, then the problem is that some contact lenses make those matters worse. And so you've taken a small annoying problem and made it a bigger annoying problem, or you've fixed one problem and created another, and you don't want to do that either.
And there's an expense to contacts that is unlike glasses. I mean, some insurances will cover your glasses. You have them for 10 years, some people, without dogs who want to, knock into your face, right? But then if you have contacts, I know what I've seen with my insurance is I get about 6 months worth. And if I want a full year, I have to pay out of pocket. And then, of course, there's a cleaning aspect and all of that.
Absolutely. And in some of the answers, in other words, if you have patients wearing daily disposable contact lenses, that's less than $1 a day. But that's for one eye, and how many days are in the year. So you do the math, and that's going to get expensive. Those patients, at least in my practice, most of those patients don't do that just for a convenience. They do it because they've worn all the other options and nothing else works anymore. And if they want to continue to wear contact lenses or they don't want to, choose another option like a LASIK surgery or something like that's their only choice. And so that is kind of built into the baked into the cake. They know they have to do that. That's what it costs to do it.
Now, going back to our original question of dry eyes with the masks, if we opt to have contacts, my journey with contacts have been looking at the technology that's come down the pike, if you will, and how the contact will moisten the eye or keep the eye moistened. Again, does that help in the dry eye situation that we were talking about with the masks? Is there a better contact out there today than there was 20 years ago?
Well, yeah, there's always a better contact out there today than there was 20 years ago. And obviously, if you're wearing contacts, you're not going to have the fogging up of the glasses, you know, and hopefully you have a reduction in terms of the dryness. But, you know, again, it's going to be an individual thing. What works for one person may not work for every person.
Yeah.
It never does. There's never a solution that works for every person.
Dr. Stephen Hinderberger, an optometrist here in Butler, of course, right above us. So if you're visiting our station, of course, you just go upstairs. And I'll ask your contact information here in just a moment. But I wanted to also cover the aspect that we're living right now with a lot of us online. I know we live online, it seems. Mm-hmm. But now, the past many months, especially when you have kids trying to do school and parents trying to help kids do school, and then a lot of us are working at home, so we have to be on the computer more instead of do some hallway talk with our coworkers. Mm-hmm. What's that doing to our eyes?
It's interesting, you know, and I've had this happen to me many times in my life, and it happened to me over the course of the last couple of days when you initially approached me as to, you know, talking about this, and you had some ideas of what you wanted to talk about. And I thought, well, gee, that's not going to really cover a lot of time. So, you know, and so I wrote a few things down, and then within the last 2 days, I had two or three patients came in with symptoms that are specifically made worse by the situation we're in. What I mean by that is yesterday I saw an 18-year-old girl in her first year of college who wears glasses because she has – well, both of the patients had similar situations, but they both have difficulty focusing on things up close. Now, in a normal – college setting, that would be your homework at night, that would be books you have to read, but you're going to sit in an auditorium, and so you're going to off and on with those things. But that's not the situation now. That person is at home online, and so they're sitting there for X amount of hours right at that distance that is their weak spot, the thing that bothers them most. And I saw a young 10 or 11-year-old this morning, and his situation was a combination of difficulty focusing and difficulty what we call converging. When you bring something in, as you bring something closer to you to read, your eyes converge. They move in. Well, that doesn't mean they do that evenly, smoothly, or easily for everyone. So some people, it's like their eyes want to lag out, and they're asking them to, you know, it's like pushing a spring in. And so the closer things get to them, the more work that is for them. And so, again, that would be a problem when they would be reading or doing certain things, but if they were in a classroom setting, most of the time when they're looking at the board, that wouldn't be an issue, but that's not the case now. They're having to sit at home with their Chromebooks, and so they're literally taking their weakest spot and having to spend all day on it. So it's just interesting. Sometimes things pop into your office, and they're like they're perfectly suited for the thing you know you're going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's an issue that we find that, you know, because people are doing things more at a near distance more often, they're more annoyed by the little things that they might have been able to live with or put off doing anything about for a longer period of time.
And when you're talking about focusing, are you talking about the eyes focusing on the letters
focusing
on the screen?
Focusing on the letters on the screen, exactly.
And is it causing anything like headaches? Because if you're looking at a screen and then looking off to your right or left, of course there's the distance and adjustment.
You know, I mean, when you do it's a very simple test. It's a convergence test. You take a pen and you hold it to someone and you say, look at that pen. Now tell me if you see it split into two. You should be able to bring that in almost to your nose. But when you get to about 12 inches and you see the patient's eyes begin to struggle, or one will tend to just kind of, you know, kick out, you know that if they're sitting there all day long looking at that distance, that they're constantly put at that point of strain. And so at the end of the day, they're going to be very tired. They're going to be much more fatigued, and they're going to have a lot more issues than they normally would when it would be a little bit of time here and the rest of the time is board work where you're looking at a distance, and that's not the same strain on their eyes doing that.
So what's the solution? Glasses or exercises or taking breaks from the computer?
Well, in the short term, I think that's the case, but you don't know. You know, I described it to the young patient's grandmother, brought her in, and I'm always trying to look for examples that can explain things to people. And I told her, because I think she was probably similar in age to me. I said, do you remember when you needed to get reading glasses or a bifocal? And she said, yeah, and we laughed. And I said, but do you remember what it was like, you know, for a year or so before that when you would sit down to look at something and it was annoying and it was a struggle and it was an effort? Yeah, before you had to do it. I said, that's where he's at now. And that's why we need to give him something that he can put on and he can wear so that it's not an effort for him and not a struggle for him. Sometimes that can be accomplished with exercise, and it does have some, depending upon the condition, there are certain things you can do. But in the short term, you want to just give him something that works so that he has, you know, so that he can function in the meantime. And then if you can incorporate something else that makes it better and eliminates one of those problems, then that's fine. Go ahead and do that. But at least give him something that he can use in the meantime so he can function and get by.
Well, obviously, none of us have ever lived this before, this pandemic. And so we are where we are. But since you're seeing those kind of cases come in, do you have any thought about what that means to that patient down the road? Will that hurt their eyes? Will they struggle more?
No, they would have had the same problem. It's kind of like if you struggle to do things up close and you become an accountant and all day long you're looking at things up close, you're going to be more annoyed by your problem than if you were a long distance truck driver where all you did was drive down the road and stare at the. It just makes things more noticeable. It makes us harder to ignore the little annoying things that we would maybe be able to get by without doing something about. It just makes it harder to do that because of the up close demands that we have now. You know, a couple years ago, I had a light bulb went off on my head whenever I was talking to a patient who the young girl needed to wear glasses because made reading easier for her, and she said to me. You know, and I would usually say, well, you need them to put them on when you're reading a book or doing something up close, and okay. And then while I'm examining the next patient, I see the patient sitting there on her phone, and the bulb goes off on top of my head saying, that's reading. That's up close. That's all the time. We never get away from it. You know, in school we're forced to now because of the online stuff, but we're all on our phones. We're all on those things, devices all the time. So, and I had one young girl, and she'd say, well, by the middle of the afternoon, my eyes will tend to bother me, and I'm struggling. And I knew I had given her glasses, and I said, well, is that with or without your glasses? And she says, I forgot them. They're on they're on my nightstand. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she says, and then when I drive home at night, I said, this is bothering me and I struggle. And I said, well, is that with or without your glasses? Oh, no. She says, I forgot them. They're on the nightstand. I said, to show your age, I said, well, do you remember to take your phone with you wherever you go? And she looked at me like I was an idiot.
Yeah, right.
And I said, when those glasses become as important to you as that phone is, then you'll remember to add it to the things that you carry with you, like your keys and your wallet and your phone, and you'll have it. It'll be a tool. That's all glasses or contacts are. They are tools. If you can get by without the tool and it doesn't bother you, you will. If the tool helps and makes life easier and it makes enough of a difference, you'll use it, and you'll remember it, and you'll carry it with you. But none of these things that we're going through now make our eyes worse or create a problem. They just make us aware of the problem that we probably had that now is harder to ignore.
Are we rubbing our eyes too much recently?
Well, I mean, that's a big concern because obviously, people who struggle to focus may be inclined to rub their eyes. But, I mean, obviously all the information we're getting tells us, keep your hands off your face, wash your hands frequently, and don't do that. There was I was thinking about it because there was a gentleman who came, was online, not online, he was on television, who was an infectious disease doctor who came down with COVID, and he determined that he got it on a flight where he was doing all the precautions except he wasn't wearing anything to protect his eyes. And so if you're in a closed environment, it made me think, if I were going on anywhere on a plane, which I'm not and don't intend to anytime soon, I probably would put on a pair of something to protect my eyes from things, getting in there. Because, I mean, around your eyes, there's generally like a convection current because of the heat of your body that pulls the air in towards you. And so if somebody's coughing or sneezing, it's a vector. And it can get through that vector. Obviously, it can get there very quickly if you pick up this microphone that we're talking into that the person before me had a virus, and then I rub my eye.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're going to get it. There's no way that you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
So don't rub your eyes. Don't keep your hands off your face as much as you can. And you know, if you abide by my wife's rules, wash your hands often.
There you go. So it is a thing that's called mask-associated dry eye. It's made,
honestly,
right?
Honestly, I looked it up, and I was partly shocked, but then not, because there's always somebody who comes up with a name
for
things.
Right.
So, you know, but the bottom line is there's not much you can do short of just trying to keep the eyes lubricated or moist. And you know, in certain patients, if their dry eye is more bothersome to them, then I tell them to be a little more proactive and use the drops more regularly rather than – I tell them it's like the difference between sunscreen and aloe. If your skin's burnt, you put aloe on, it feels better for a while, but it's going to come right back. If you put sunscreen on, you don't get burnt, then you don't then you don't have the other issue.
So if you're talking about eyes and somebody says, do you have MAID, that's a thing. It's a thing. So, don't look at them cross-eyed. No pun intended. Okay, so I'll let you go. I know you have to get back to work. How do we get a hold of you? I know you have a mask, so of course you're using masks, mm-hmm. asking people to wear their masks when they come in.
I mean, we've adjusted our schedule so that we try to keep one patient in the office every hour, and we've kind of made adjustments in terms of how we dispense materials so that we use the mail a lot more and other avenues. So people coming in to pick up things was kind of like a wild card. You had no idea when that was going to happen, and people would come in with five kids, and so we just can't do that anymore. So now we either mail their materials out to them or have a drop box that they can pick things up, and we still solve their problem. We just do it on a schedule rather than just randomly coming in and dealing with it. So it's just being careful. That's all it is, just the way everyone else should be.
Right. Phone number, website.
724-287-1800 is the number. drhinnerberger.com is the website. And we're located above where the radio station is.
So easy to find. Dr. Hinderberger, thanks so much.
You're welcome.